We turn now to the scriptures, to the letter to the Colossians, where in the third chapter, we read these words about worship, beginning with the 16th verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Roger Angel is a great baseball writer, and he was trying to talk about what is the appeal of baseball to so many people, and he thought it was its timeless quality. Timeless because, he said, there's no clock in baseball. So theoretically, he says, theoretically, the game could go on forever. Even if there's two outs in the bottom of the ninth, and there's a ground ball to the shortstop who backhands the ball in the hole and throws across the diamond as the ball is speeding its way toward the first baseman's mitt and the runner is on his way toward first base, if the runner beats the ball to the bag, the game goes on. And it just might go on forever. Yesterday at the wedding here, we were looking at pictures of Courtney and Mark, the bride and the groom, that were projected onto the wall from when they were very young on throughout all of their lives. And you could almost hear someone singing that song from Fiddler on the Roof, you know, sunrise, sunset. Now is the little boy a bridegroom. Now is the little girl a bride. And there's something about a wedding where you look forward, certainly, but you also look back. And you have that timeless quality, that timeless moment. Frederick Buechner, the novelist, says this about music. Music helps us to keep time. In the sense of keeping us in touch with time. Not just time as an ever-flowing stream that bears all of us away at last, but time also as a stream that every once in a while slows down and becomes transparent enough for us to see down to the stream bed, the way at a wedding, say, or watching the sunrise. Past, present, and future are so caught up in a single moment that we catch a glimpse of the mystery that at its deepest place, time is timeless. The mystery that at its deepest place, even time is timeless. The letter to Colossians tells us to sing, and it must have something to do with being timeless. Not just that, there are other reasons to sing. We sing to learn the faith. There are those who say that what we sing teaches us more than reading the Bible. We learn our theology by the hymns we sing. We sing because we come together as God's people to sing. And, you know, faith is not a solitary enterprise. In fact, you cannot be a Christian alone. I mean, sure, you can read the Bible, you can pray, but there's something about needing to come together. We are all God's people. And we all need one another. And in worship, we express that by singing together, whether we sing well or not so well. There are times, of course, in life when dark things happen or despair comes, and it's difficult, if not impossible, to sing. I know I've had moments like that where it was just impossible for me to sing those songs. And in those moments, you sang for me. You sang for me. So we sing with each other, and then there are times when we sing for each other. We sing one another's songs as the family of God. We're about to do another hymn survey to find out what your favorite hymns are, what your favorite songs are, so that we can sing them more often. And we haven't done it yet, but I'm pretty sure we'll find what we've always discovered before, which is that we do not all have the same favorite hymns. My favorites, which are clearly the best ones, are not always yours, and yours are not always mine. So our favorite hymns really are a wide range of songs that, because we're family, we sing one another's songs. And just as in my family, when I had to suffer through Frank Sinatra when I was young, and my father dutifully suffered through, I shudder to say it, Three Dog Night. But you know what? As family, we grew. And you know, I think of Sinatra, you know, The Way You Look Tonight. That's one of my favorite songs. And you know what? My dad actually went out one day and bought the Bee Gees soundtrack to Saturday Night Fever. He paid for it. So sometimes when you sing one another's songs, you come to like them and even love them. But last and certainly most importantly, we sing because music brings mind and heart together in a way that connects us to what is timeless. I think about funerals, those moments when we're celebrating life in the midst of death, and how often it's the singing that is the most emotional part of that experience. Not long ago at a memorial service, I remember singing In the Garden. In the Garden. And looked down at the family, and some were singing with tears streaming down their cheeks. Some were at that moment where it wasn't a time to sing. But nonetheless, we all touched the truth of those words. He walks with me, he talks with me. He tells us all that we are his own. We're all his own. I think about confirmation just last Sunday when the front pews were full of our young people. And they're singing at the end of the service, Here I Am, Lord. And you look at those young faces singing, Here I Am, Lord. I will go, Lord. And you think, boy, they're there. They're just getting started. Life is just beginning. And there they are looking eager to get on with life, either to get on with figuring out what life's all about. And you think, there you are. There you are, and God is right there in the pew with you. It's a timeless moment for me to look in their faces. I think about moments like when the choir sang Within These Walls as we started, songs I've heard them sing several times before, and I don't tire of it, singing about within these walls there being refuge, a place to come, and yet we don't stay here. We're sent beyond these walls to a world in need, and yet back again within these walls, and that rhythm of coming in and going out, and God there each and every step of the way. In Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, the last movement there is actually a choral piece that's part of it. Most symphonies are all instrumental, of course, but there's a choral piece in this one. And the music is a little bit dramatic as it begins, dissonant chords maybe, even a little bit coming from here and there and everywhere, and then in the midst of it comes the basses singing joy. The familiar tune, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. The basses are singing that tune, and then the other parts add in, and in the midst of all those dissonant chords and all those whirling, chaotic kind of music, you hear that underlying note of joy, joy. Beethoven telling us that in the midst of this crazy world we live in the midst of all the dark things that happen and terrible things that happen, always beneath is that note, that constant note of God, that the end is joy. Today, we gather to celebrate Sandy Day, to celebrate the joy that is at the heart of our faith that Sandy has helped us sing for 20 years. And we celebrate that joy that is at the heart of all things. Thanks be to God. Amen.